Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
It is so good to be together in December in the evening times. This has become one of our cherished traditions at North Star, and so we want to welcome you this evening. And like Neil said earlier, if this is your first time to visit us, we really are grateful that you're here. And we hope that you are refreshed, encouraged, and that the gospel of Jesus just reassures you that no matter what your life may look like around you, no matter what things are happening in our world, God's got this. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows the circumstances and details of your life. He knows your thoughts and your struggles. And he loves you intimately. And so it really is our joy to be together tonight, just to be refreshed in worship, to be refreshed from God's word. And I want to invite you, if you will, to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to be wrapping up kind of our Christmas series this evening. We have one more December nights next week, Neil's going to be preaching for us, and we've given him the carte blanche to preach from wherever he would like to preach, and so that's going to be great. But tonight, we're going to be wrapping up our study. We've been in Luke chapter 1 for the past 3 weeks, and tonight we'll be in Luke chapter 2. And we've really studied Luke chapter 1 from the perspective of two different couples. Luke chapter 1 examines a marriage between senior adults. Zechariah and Elizabeth are their names. They're from a priestly families. And so Zechariah, we learned in Luke chapter 1, was actually in the holy place in the temple. He was ministering, and the angel Gabriel showed up and told him that they were going to have a son. Their prayers had been answered, and we kind of looked at that, and we thought Zechariah is probably saying, God, I prayed that prayer a long time ago. Don't know if we're quite ready to have a child at this age, but they did, and it turns out that the child they have is the child you and I know as John the Baptist, but he is a bridge between the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament coming of the Messiah. And his mission, according to the angel Gabriel, was to prepare God's people for the coming of the Messiah. He was going to turn the hearts of the Jews back to God, turn the hearts of fathers back to their children. And that indeed was going to be the ministry of John the Baptist as he preached the importance of repentance. And he began baptizing people in the desert. And Sarah was so right in her video earlier that Jesus himself came and was baptized by John the Baptist out in the desert, and it inaugurated his ministry. And then we also have looked at in Luke chapter 1 another couple, a lot younger. Their names were Joseph and Mary. And the same angel, Gabriel, shows up and tells Mary that she is going to have a son. And Mary responds with, how am I going to have a son? I've never been with a man. And the angel assures her that the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow her, and the child that is going to be born to her is going to be of divine origin. And it's going to cause such a scandal in their social circles that Matthew, it tells us that Joseph intended to put her away, to write her a certificate of divorce. Because in those days, a betrothal was equivalent to being married, and so he would have had to divorce her to nullify their engagement. And the angel appeared to him in a dream and assured him that what was going on was of God. And then last week, we looked at the birth of John the Baptist. And then tonight, we'll be in Luke chapter 2. And the passage we're in Luke chapter 2, and if you will, just look with me there at verse 1, and it'll be on the screen behind me. But this passage is so familiar. I was actually in Barnes & Noble on Friday or Saturday. I can't remember which morning it was. And I was in there, and they've got house music playing, you know, and they've got Christmas music. And then I heard, like, a child talking over the intercom, like it's part of one of the songs. And I was like, what is this? And I started listening, and part of that song, whatever it was, because I'd missed the first part, was a child in the song reading this portion of Luke chapter 2. This is a portion of Scripture that maybe apart from John 3:16 is incredibly familiar to our culture. It's, you'll see it in the Charlie Brown Christmas special when Linus stands up and he quotes all of Luke chapter 2, and he probably reads it better than I do. But I want you to follow along with me and just let the words refresh your spirit this evening. Pay attention to them. Don't get ahead of yourself. Just listen and enjoy and realize this is an announcement to us for our joy and for our refreshing in Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in their fields, and they were keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off, and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they were told about this child. They reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. I think what we see in these verses that are just so full of joy and promise fulfilled, what we see is a millennia interrupting work of God the Father. We looked earlier this month and we looked at a passage in Galatians, and this passage in Galatians reminded us that it was in the fullness of time that God sent His Son. That God had been waiting for this particular moment in human history to send the Messiah, to send the one that would save all peoples from their sin. And yet we see that there was no one waiting on Jesus. The Jews, the people that he came to save, the people that he belonged to, the fulfillment of the promise that God gave Abraham, the Jews were nowhere on the scene. There was no room available for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so he's born and he's placed in a manger. No one is ready for the coming of the Messiah. And so what does God the Father does? He says, well, tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to send some angels and they're going to make some noise. They're going to scare some shepherds to death, but I'm going to see to it that my son is recognized. The glory of the Lord shines around the shepherds, and don't you just love that God sent angels to shepherds rather than angels to kings? Don't you love that God made the announcement to the common man instead of to the elite rulers? Don't you love that at the very beginning, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the Savior, the Creator, that the people who are welcomed into His presence are dirty, disheveled, unprepared, startled, and they are a lot like me and they are a lot like you. They had no idea what they were getting into. All they knew that when they stepped in to this place where there were animals and a manger and a young couple, all they knew that they were in the presence of greatness. And they worshiped. And then they went and they told everybody about what they had witnessed. Isn't it interesting that no one was ready for Jesus? No one was ready in spite of generations of prophecy. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi, Micah, Hosea, Habakkuk. All of the Old Testament prophets were pointing to this night, pointing to this moment, assuring them that you could trace the signs that the prophecies would be fulfilled in this way, that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son. They will call his name Emmanuel. No one was ready for it. After Jesus is born, wise men from the east show up in Jerusalem. You remember that? In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, they come in and they say, we are here to worship the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We understand that the King of Israel has been born. And who do they happen to be telling this to? It's to King Herod, one of the most wicked kings that Israel has ever had. And King Herod is a little bit unnerved that someone of royalty has been born that might challenge his throne. And so he asks his scribes and he asks his wise men in Matthew chapter 2. He tells the wise men, hey, just hang on for just a second. He walks over here to his wise men and scribes. He says, these guys say a Messiah has been born. What is going on? Where is this Messiah supposed to be born? And the scribes and the wise men, they say, well, King Herod, it's very obvious. And they tell him in Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. He assembles the chief priests, the scribes of the people, and he asks them where the Christ would be born. They respond to him, he will be born in Bethlehem of Judea, because this is what was written by the prophet. And they quote from the book of Micah. It says, and you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Herod's like, okay. He goes back to the wise men and says, apparently Bethlehem is where you need to go. No one is ready for Jesus. No one was ready in spite of years of prophecy. They could tell him where the Messiah was supposed to be born, and yet they weren't there waiting on him. All the prophecies were known. The prophecies were beloved. And yet the prophecies were not applied to their lives. It's a lot like our lives today, isn't it? We know the Word of God. We esteem the Word of God. We love the Word of God. But our struggle is in applying the Word of God to my life and to your life. To loving God so much that we want to be obedient to Him. It's the same in their day. They knew what the Word said. They just weren't ready for Jesus to come. We also see in this passage that it is laden with worship choirs led by angels. And you cannot read Luke 1 and Luke 2 without realizing, man, angels are everywhere in Luke 1 and 2. It's most amazing, wonderful reality. And it's almost like the angels are described, in the New Testament, angels are described as ministering spirits. They're here to support and help believers in Jesus Christ. And yet, in this time, in Luke 1 and Luke 2, angels are given a front row seat. They get to play a part in the role and the introduction of the Messiah of Israel to all of mankind in a way that they've not gotten to do for eons. And so they are so excited. I don't know how Gabriel got to be the guy that showed up to announce to Zechariah that he's going to have a son and show up and announce to Mary. I don't know if it was straws drawn or what. And Gabriel's like, and all the other angels are like, oh man, I wanted to be the guy. Gabriel gets to be the guy. And an angel of the Lord shows up in a dream to Joseph. An angel of the Lord shows up to the shepherds and scares them to death. And then right as their hearts kind of start calming down, it says, then a multitude is like, wah! And they are just startled again. Angels are everywhere. There's the prophecies. There's the angels. And it's just like, and when Peter is writing his letter in 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 through 12, it makes so much sense when you read this. It says, concerning this salvation. It's talking about the salvation that comes to all of us when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you, they searched and they carefully investigated. They inquired into what time or what circumstances the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when He testified in advance to the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. These things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. It's like the Old Testament prophets when they're prophesying and they're being led by the Spirit of God to say the things that they were saying, and their prophecies are written down for us to read. They're so interested and so curious. They wanted to know, God, when are these things going to happen? When is the majesty of these events going to take place? And it was revealed to them that it wasn't for them to know. They weren't serving themselves and their generation, but they were serving our generations. And then I love this phrase that Peter throws out. Angels long to glimpse into this reality. What reality? Our salvation. It's like the angels were on the edge of their seats in heaven. It's like God the Father is like, okay, tonight's the night. The Son will be born. They're all on the edge of their seats. And finally, they all stand up. And they're like looking at all of their brothers who have been assigned the joyous privilege of scaring to death some shepherds and announcing that the Messiah has been born. They have been waiting for millennia for this moment. But there's no explosions. There's no royalty. There's no fanfare. You know what is there? Straw. Smelly animals. Dirty shepherds. A nervous couple. Think about that. The next time you think that your life is too small for God to take notice of, the next time you think that God doesn't want to do a work in you and through you, remember this night. It was an ordinary couple in an out-of-the-way place, a dirty manger, and heaven shone around them. Are you ordinary? Do you feel a bit unworthy, inadequate? Ever felt like a spiritual failure? You have a past you're not proud of? You made decisions you don't want to tell people about? You wonder if God genuinely likes you. According to Scripture, He loves you. And it's kind of like sometimes we look at ourselves and we'll say, well, my mama loves me too. My mama has to love me. And you're like, but does God like me? Friends, God loves you and He likes you so much that He sent Jesus. He sent a baby whose only mission in life was to tell people how they could be made right with God. Whose only mission in life was to make you right with God by taking your sins upon Himself and being crucified on a cross. So that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. This is not an American gospel. This is not an Oriental gospel. This is not a Jewish gospel. This is a gospel for all of humanity. This is a gospel for all peoples. This is a gospel for all sinners. That whoever believes in Jesus Christ may be saved. So I love that Christmas comes once a year and it comes to where we are. Think about that for a moment. You're thinking in your head, that's really not that profound, Jeff. It's kind of like, wherever you go, there you are. Christmas comes to where you are. Wherever you're existing, wherever you're living, wherever you're breathing, Christmas is going to come to you every single year. We, however, are unexpected. We're going about our routines. We don't think twice about objects of familiarity. We don't think much about spiritual things during our week. Time and kids and schedules and classes dominate our thoughts. Technology distracts us. The latest Instagram post or the latest viral YouTube video leads us down rabbit trails, and we've wasted an hour before we realize it. And Luke 2 reminds us that God will use shepherds in a manger to forever show us that He can work anywhere. He can work with anyone to accomplish His work and save His people. He sends Jesus to where you are. He sends Jesus to when you're wasting time on your cell phone. And suddenly something pops up on your cell phone. It's like maybe it's an encouraging email, or maybe it's a picture that just reminds you of the beauty of life and the grace of God. Maybe it's a phone call from a friend. God will interrupt your life to refocus your thoughts. If you'll listen, if you'll watch, if you'll remember, I'm almost certain that God has interrupted your life this weekend already. And many of us weren't prepared for it. We weren't expectant. And maybe right now, in this moment, you're having a light bulb go off and go, oh, that moment when my son said, Dad, will you play with me? It was a moment of relationship. It was a moment of invitation. That moment where someone was brought to mind that you know is having a hard time. And you thought for a moment, oh, I just hate they're having a hard time. But what God was really doing was he's really inviting you into prayer. He's really just asking you to stop what you're doing and take a few moments and pray for that person. Or it could be that God was nudging you to send a text message or to send an email. To get out of yourself long enough to realize that Christmas has come to you. Where you are. I love that, ready or not, Jesus comes in Luke chapter 2. Jesus was coming whether the Jews were going to be there or not, right? Jesus came in all his glory. He's like the perfect seeker in hide and seek. He doesn't pretend that he doesn't know where we're hiding, and so he comes to where we are. You ever played with your kids hide and seek and you know exactly where they are, and so you wander around the room and say, oh, I wonder where. You see their shoes sticking out from underneath the curtain, or you hear them in the closet going, shh, shh, shh. Because apparently shh doesn't carry, you know? I talked to a librarian about that. God is the perfect seeker. You may have tried to hide from him, but he knows exactly where you are. And he loves you. He does not want a day wasted in your life apart from you enjoying him forever. See, every time we waste a day not enjoying Jesus, it's travesty. Jesus knows that we will be most fully us and he will be most fully glorified when we enjoy every single day in his presence. That we believe by faith that he's with us. David Mathis, in a devotional on Desiring God that was just released this morning, he says this: Christmas is a window into the very heart of God, who he is year-round and forever. God does indeed look with mercy on those who own their humble estate to exalt them. And our spirit, rejoicing in God, magnifies God. What do you think about that? Our spirit, when we rejoice in God, it magnifies God. When you enjoy God, it glorifies God. The opposite of that is also true. When you don't enjoy God, you detract from his glory. Folks, God is so worthy of being glorified. Jesus is so worthy of being praised. And when we don't enjoy Jesus, it doesn't subtract from his glory. It's not like we can make God smaller. It just makes our lives smaller. We join a long line of those who try to seek contentment in this world. And our world cannot satisfy you. If you're not enjoying God, you're going to miss Christmas like Herod did. If you're not enjoying God, you will not be at the manger. If you're not enjoying God, you probably won't see angels. You'll be so self-consumed that you'll never look up. Some of you from your phones, but others of you from your suffering and from your worry and from your failure. I think one thing we've learned this December is that in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, the story of these two couples, Zachariah and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary, both stories are intended to intersect your story. It was like Sarah said in her video, it's like, this is my story, and this is his story, and this is our story. John the Baptist played a crucial role in getting people ready for Jesus' coming. And even tonight, I think we should ask ourselves if we are ready for Jesus this Christmas. God in His grace comes to us where we are. We don't have to find Him. He finds us. He comes to all. And to all who receive Him and recognize Him, He offers a great gift. The gift of forgiveness through salvation by faith. To a young couple, to shepherds, to foreign wise men, and to me, and to you, to any of us who are ready. John 1, 10 through 12 says, Jesus was in the world, and the world was created through Him, and yet the world did not recognize Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be children of God. What we celebrate as Christmas will be this Tuesday. But the spiritual reality behind Christmas is here. He is here. Will you welcome Jesus into your life tonight? Will you announce to Him in prayer that you love Him and you want Him to lead you, to guide you, to save you? The best gift of Christmas is simply receiving Jesus where you are. Not trying to clean yourself up first. Not trying to get things right first. Just surrendering where you are. If Jesus can be born and be laid in a manger and receive the praise of shepherds, He can surely, surely change your life. Let me pray for us. Father, we love You so much, and we are amazed at Your word tonight. We're amazed at this story as we've examined it once again. And Lord, its familiarity is so powerful. Lord, I'm asking this evening that You would change our lives and You would increase our affection for You, that You would increase our love for You. Lord, thank You for bringing Christmas to where we are. You are merciful and gracious and kind. I pray these things in Jesus' name. We're going to watch part two of that video that we began our service with.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.